Father God, we thank you for even just things like communication. As we talked about some business this morning and just talked about websites and emails and things like that, God, we just thank you for family and connection and that we get to care for one another and walk through things together. And so, God, I just thank you for these tools that we have that we can do that well. As we seek to care for each other and reach out into our community, God, it takes simple and mundane things like communication to do that. And I thank you for the people that pour so much time and energy into these things that allow us to know what you are doing, God, how you are at work and how we can be a part of that. Father God, I thank you that we can sing together and pray together and just shake hands and enjoy sharing the stories of what you're doing together. God, as our seniors met this week and got to watch a video about a family that's been a part of the NAB, I thank you for our history and the stories, God, that you have been a part of for so many years and that we continue to be a part of that today. But Father God, as we turn to your word now and just explore a little bit more deeply where you are leading us, Father, we just pray that you would speak. We pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear from you today, that we can be challenged, that we can follow you more closely in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to continue our new sermon series that Pastor Dennis kind of kicked off for us last week, A Year with Jesus. And we're talking about the motives and mission of the kingdom of God. And this is a pretty big idea, and that's why we're taking the whole year to walk through it. Just, you know, kind of simply, what is the kingdom of God? What is it like? How does it work? How are we supposed to be a part of it? How does God work? Easy, right? No big deal. We can do that. But it's a hugely important idea for us to understand and something for us to explore, because one of the biggest and easiest mistakes that we can make when we try to follow God and serve him as we're supposed to do and we try to do, but one of the biggest mistakes we can make is to assume that God is just like us. That God works like us. If we don't look closely at how God works, what his kingdom is like and what it's all about, what he cares about, who he cares about, how he moves, we are going to work automatically, like he's just like us. That his plans would work like mine do. That what he's worried about is the same stuff that I worry about. That his priorities are the same as mine. That he sees people the same way I do. That he even wants the same things that I do. And instead of following him and building his kingdom, we kind of build our own thing and just maybe ask him to bless it. And sure, when it's laid out like that, we can see the problem there. Assuming God is just like me is probably not a great idea. And at the same time, as we walk with God, as I walk more closely with him and try to be more like him, I hope I'm being made like him in that journey, that I reflect him better and better every day. But still, you can't ask a mirror what someone is like, and you don't know someone simply by looking at a picture of them. You have to meet them for real. You have to spend time with them for real. And if we don't ask this big question about how God works, what he is doing, we're going to build something in our own image and follow something that looks kind of like us. And that's going to lead us somewhere we definitely do not want to go. As we've said before, the one thing we have to do if we want to be followers of Jesus, the one thing we have to do if we want to be followers of Jesus is actually follow him. You have to move. You have to know him and follow him and see what he's doing. And if we want to know the motives and the mission of the kingdom of God, Jesus is the only way for us to understand that. Last week, Pastor Dennis laid out for us the direction for this year, the four phases of Jesus' ministry. And you can break down Jesus' life and ministry in lots of different ways, but this is a helpful way that we're going to be walking through it this year. And the first phase is simply called Follow Me. And it's this beautiful part of Jesus' life where he just invited people to watch. See what I'm doing. Just come and see what the kingdom of God looks like. And then the second phase we call be equipped. And we're drawing people. Jesus is drawing people a little bit closer. And he's starting to share with them a little bit more deeper teaching and training for ministry in this kingdom that he talks about so much. And then he starts moving a little further into this third phase that we're calling you are sent, where he starts to send little groups of his followers to do a little bit of work in towns surrounding them. That they can get a taste and they can practice what it meant to be part of this kingdom of God. And then finally, this fourth phase, he leaves and he sends his spirit to indwell these followers, empower them to be the church. And he sends them out to the ends of the earth to start building this thing that he's been talking about. So that's what we're going to try to do this year. We're going to walk through the life and ministry of Jesus so that we can understand who God is, and then who we are, and then kind of what we're supposed to be doing. We're going to look at what God has done so that we can learn what God is doing here now to say today. How is he at work around you? And how is he inviting you to be a part of that? Because that's the best part. You get to be a part of what God is doing. You get to be a part of God building his kingdom. That's huge. That's exciting. So as we look at beginning this journey to explore how we can be a part of God's mission, this morning we're going to look at the story of John the Baptist. Right as Jesus is beginning his ministry, John announces that he is the one, he is the Messiah. And so John has a critical role to play in this. We're going to look a little bit at his story, and we're going to learn and explore the fact that God doesn't need you. He doesn't need any of us. And that's not what we're supposed to say. That's not how this is supposed to go. But it's true. And if you're confused, I am too, and that's okay. But we'll see if we can get there together this morning. But we're going to be looking in the Gospels of Matthew and John this morning. And all of you physical Bible people can finally look around at the digital Bible people and look down your noses at them and say, ha ha, you can't put your finger in the other spot, and I can switch back so easily here. And you're going to have to go back to the menu and pull it down again. It's going to be really awkward. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 3 and John chapter 1, and we're going to look at a couple of other passages as well. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 3, and that's kind of where we find some of the pieces of John's story here. But Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 to 6 gives us a little bit of an introduction to John's ministry. And again, he's right at the beginning of Jesus' story as well. God has prophesied that John is coming, and he lets his parents know this, and it's all miraculous. You can read that yourselves. It's a great story. You should read it. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John had a mission. God spoke to his parents. He was a child of prophecy. He was God's messenger to prepare the people for the Messiah, for Jesus. And it all sounds really exciting, spiritual, and mystical, but think of his life and his journey. He was told the story lots and lots of times, and then he listened. He obeyed what God told him to do, and he went out into the wilderness by himself and walked around eating bugs and honey, yelling at who? I don't know. He didn't have an audience at the beginning, certainly. People probably went out to hear the crazy man in the desert. And how long was he out there? Days? Weeks? Months? Years? Day after day. We don't know for sure. It seems like it was a long time. How long was he seen as the crazy man in the desert preaching these things and probably being laughed at, certainly at the beginning? Day after day, it's hot. He doesn't have any resources out there. He's on his own. But God was with him. And people started to come to hear what he was saying. And they're convicted. And the Spirit is moving. God is at work and something big is happening. People are hungry for the truth, for God. And John is faithful. And eventually they start to wonder, is this it? Is he it? Maybe John is the Messiah. And then we turn over to John chapter 1, verse 19. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? This powerful and amazing prophet from our Old Testament, from our scriptures, he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? This one who was prophesied to come at the end times? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied, in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, you're not Elijah, you're not the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied. But among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. Now, the interesting part of this passage is the fact that the religious leaders sent people to check this out. And if we want to be generous, maybe they were curious. Maybe they too were hungry for the Messiah, like the crowds that were coming to be baptized and hear this message. And maybe they were hoping to find that this man was the one they were waiting for. But probably they were trying to figure out how dangerous he was to the power that they held. And they were trying to figure out if maybe he should disappear. Either way, they were curious, and the people even more so. But John knew who he was. He knew his role, what God had asked him to do, and he did it. He proclaimed the kingdom and prepared people for the Messiah. And then it happened. Verse 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is what I meant. This is the one. When I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him. But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. There he was. Jesus approaches and God reveals by the Holy Spirit that this is the Messiah. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. And John gets to baptize Jesus, foreshadowing Jesus dying on the cross and being raised again, and showing Jesus' submission to his Father. And the people are amazed. And some of John's followers even go with Jesus from there. And a whole new world begins. And John was there. He got to be a part of it. He got to be on stage for it. He was the mouthpiece, God's revelation. What a gift. And then everything goes wrong. John's arrested and imprisoned. And Jesus goes off and does all kinds of amazing things, miracles. Incredible teaching. Jesus heals a paralyzed man. He casts out demons. He raises a dead girl back to life, on and on. And then he starts calling his disciples, people to follow him closely and continue this work, be close to him, the Messiah. And John, who was there before anyone, is in prison. What is going on? Matthew chapter 11. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those of women born, there is not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you were willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let him hear." John sends some of his friends to ask Jesus, "What is going on? Hey man, is this really it? Are you really him? Because I think I'm supposed to be there. I was the one calling in the wilderness, remember? I'm your guy. I can help. I can be a part of this." And Jesus reassures them, "See the miracles. Listen to the teaching. You know it's true." Okay, good. It's in control. Let's go back and tell John. And they turn and they start walking away. And Jesus starts talking. And maybe they hang back just a little bit to hear what Jesus says. And it starts out great. John is amazing. Jesus says this. Truly, I tell you, among those of women born, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. And then they keep walking. This is too much. It's embarrassing. Oh, stop. But then Jesus says, yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What? And then Jesus blows the whole thing open. Tears their whole world apart and shows them that the kingdom of God is all that matters. And then John never gets out of prison. And then the king has a party. And then John is beheaded for no reason. And that's the end of his story. Why are you following Jesus? Because it makes you feel important? Because someone told you to? Because it's comfortable and convenient? Because maybe it gets you what you want? Or because you truly love God and want to follow him? We don't know what John thought when his followers came back and told him what Jesus said. Did it set his mind at ease? Or when Jesus got to that second part after saying how great he was, did he fall into bitterness? Jesus saved so many in so many ways. He can't get me out of prison. Peter, in the book of Acts, walks out of prison. The angel opens the door for him. Or Jesus raised people back to life all the time. What about John? Didn't he deserve more? It's a crazy story. But it's so easy to see myself there in John, feeling maybe left behind, left out. I was important. I was faithful. Even when people mocked me and called me crazy, John still did what God asked. How can I get left behind like this? And if we think God needs us, then we're going to do things for our own reasons. And we're going to fall into bitterness and selfish too. If God needs me, then I deserve things from him. Then I am entitled to what I think is right and fair. And then we'll miss what God really wants to do. God doesn't call us because he needs us. He calls us because he loves us. And he wants us to know him. God didn't call John because he needed John. He called John because he wanted John to know him. He wanted John to know his Father, his God, his Creator. God wanted to show John something. As he shared this message and served God's people, God wanted John to trust him all the way. Even as he was doing these things, God wanted to be the first and only important thing to John, not crowds. Not fame, not importance, not even service. God wanted John to see himself. To love his Father. He didn't need John to do anything. He wanted to show John something. The first phase of Jesus' ministry is called follow me, because that's where he starts with each and every person, with you, with his disciples, with anyone. The simple invitation to follow him. Come and see. Listen. Learn. And while there's places Jesus takes us beyond that, and incredible things that he lets us do, the first command never changes. Follow me. We are never in charge. We are never in the lead. Jesus is always first, and even he followed. He said himself, I only do what my Father gives me to do. I only say what my Father tells me to say. Everything Jesus did came from his Father, and that never changes for us either. Now, that's easy to say when things are going great. When John's watching all this happen, miracles are happening. The disciples are seeing these amazing things. John gets to baptize Jesus. He sees the Spirit come down. Follow me. No problem. This is exciting, and I'm right here in the middle of it. But then he's in prison. Follow me. But Jesus, what is going on? I thought I was going to be right there. This isn't how it's supposed to go. Follow me. But I could be doing so much more for you right now. I'm wasting away in here. Follow me. But my life is in danger. My ministry is crumbling. These people are all fading away. Follow me. They're going to take my life. Follow me. It's so hard for us to follow. Because even in service, we can feel like we at least have control. Even when we're sacrificing, we feel like we've got control of it somehow. We want to serve Jesus on our terms, as long as it looks the way that I want it to look. As long as I get what I want. My comfort, my security, my life. And when I don't, then something must be wrong. This can't be what God wants. God wouldn't take away my job. He wouldn't take away my house. He wouldn't take away my friends. In John's case, and for many Christians today, God wouldn't want me in prison. He wouldn't let me be killed. I'll take over here, God. Let me put the plan together. This can't be right. But Jesus never asked us for any of that. He never needed us to do anything. He just wants us to listen, to follow. To obey wherever he leads, whatever the cost, doing whatever he asks, great or small. Because God doesn't need our help, but he does want our heart. God is inviting you to be a part of his mission for your sake. Not for his. Not even for the world. For you. So that you can experience him. When you serve him, his church, his people, when you care for those around you, when you love those that God puts in your life, when you sacrifice for those that need it, you get to experience who God is. When we follow Jesus, when we serve him, we get to see God. Other things happen. Lives are changed. People are helped and cared for. The gospel is spread and hope is shared, and that is awesome. But God didn't need you to do that. He wanted you to want him. To know him. Why John? Why not someone else? Why not anyone else? Why not some other way? This is the Messiah. Why not rip open the heavens and have angels declare to the whole world that the Savior was here? Why this crazy man in the desert dressed in camel hair and eating bugs? Preaching to tiny crowds about doom and repentance. Why not a polished and famous person with a huge audience, a leader, maybe the Caesar himself. Surely God could have revealed himself to someone like that and been way more effective. Because God wanted to show John something. That's why Jesus calls us to follow him, not to lead. Because God never works the way we would. And if we get out in front of him, we're going to screw it up. He chooses the wrong people every time in the worst plan. The Messiah born in a barn as a vulnerable human baby? What is he doing? And all through Jesus' life, every time he builds up a little bit of a following, suddenly Jesus says, let's go to the next town, let's move on. And as things are growing and getting bigger, and we would say ministry is finally getting started, Jesus teaches something radical, and everybody leaves. Because they were there on their own terms, not to follow. To get what they wanted, not to know him. God doesn't need you to do anything, but you reflect him in a way that no one else can. And he's inviting you in. Whether you've been following him your whole life, or you've just started, or maybe you haven't even taken that step yet, God is inviting you in to his kingdom, his mission, his vision, his purpose, to reflect who he is. To be a part of something truly spectacular, if you will trust him with everything, with every part of your life, your money, your time, your talent and energy, your family, your home. He will take it all, and he will use it through you if you follow him. Not so that you can do something for him, but just so you can know him. That's how much he loves you. If we let God be in charge, it's going to be weird. John was a crazy man in the desert eating bugs because God never does things like we would. And God didn't need Abraham or Israel or Moses or Esther or David or Mary, but he chose them. And they submitted to him. And they got to know him in an incredible way. And God did amazing things through them. Do you want to be a part of God's kingdom? His mission? God's plan? He wants you to be a part of what he's doing so that you can know him more. Do you want to know God more? And Jesus says, follow me. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that you are patient. I take control in my own life all the time. I fail to trust you all the time. God, I don't see or understand what you're doing all the time. And God, I thank you that you are patient with me, with all of us. God, you are building something incredible, and we want to be a part of it. But God, help us to follow. Help us to let you lead. Use us, God. We want to be used. But soften our hearts, God, to be used the way you want to use us, not the way we want to be. We want to be able to reflect who you are, to share your gospel, to be hope and life to the world around us by your Spirit, God, but lead us. We want to follow you. And when we try to step out in front, God, be gentle as you place us back behind you, trusting you, being led by your Spirit. I thank you, God, for this church and for the incredible work that you are doing in and through each one of these people here. God, I pray that you will help us to know you a little more, that as we seek to follow you, we can do that better and better in Jesus' name. Amen.